Chapter 13. On Wednesday evening, Ron started to get ready to meet Robin at the airport. Everything else seemed to fade into the background for him. He wore a pair of jeans and a shirt that he'd laundered for the occasion. He turned down the joints that Chris wanted to smoke with him that afternoon. He avoided Warren's phone call by having Chris say that he wasn't at home. He asked Lorene for advice about what he should do. "Don't come on too strong with her. Give her a chance to feel comfortable. And for God's sake, lighten up a little," Lorene told him. Art had left for Denver the previous day. Ron had called him in New York to thank him for all of his help. "I didn't do anything that you wouldn't have figured out by yourself if you had a little more time," said Art. "I just hurried things along for you a little bit." On Monday night, Warren had read to him from the Odyssey. It was the chapter where Odysseus went to meet Circe. He told Ron that he needed to keep his head clear and not be drawn in by her beauty or his desire for her. Ron thought about what everyone had told him while he was waiting for her in the airport. But most of all, he remembered what Chris had said. "If she doesn't want you, it's more her loss than it is yours. She's not going to find somebody as good as you very easily. Leave it to Chris to make him feel good." He watched her plane land and followed it as it taxied over to the terminal. He stood off to the side as the passengers got off. He watched the people greet each other and wondered if she would be happy to see him. And then she was there. She walked into the terminal, carrying a flight bag and a baggage stub in her hand. Ron could feel his heart begin to race. He walked over to her quickly. She smiled and threw her arms around his neck. They kissed each other warmly, and then she held him at a polite distance. "How are you?" "I'm good. How was the flight?" "Except for O'Hare Airport, which always sucks, it was great." "You had a stopover?" "They wanted an extra $75 for a direct flight." "Are you hungry?" "I'm starved." "Let's go get something to eat." They walked, each holding the other around the waist, down to get her bags. Ron reveled in the ease of motion when they walked together. He told himself that he would never feel that good walking with another human being as long as he lived. "How's everybody out here?" she said. "They're the same," said Ron. "How are things back in Minneapolis?" "A mess," said Robin. Ron stared at her eyes. They looked tired. Their green color seemed to have faded since he'd seen her last. "Where have you decided to stay?" "With my mother. She's in Westfield again. She got an apartment over a car dealership." They drove away from the airport and stopped at a diner on the highway. They'd eaten together there a bunch of times. All of a sudden, Ron was also feeling very hungry. He ordered a tuna salad platter, while Robin had a club sandwich. At first, they talked about Robin's mother in a little bit of detail. She told Ron about the falling down and about how she had been on a long binge. He countered by telling her about his mother and aunt. He waited for her to bring up something real, but she didn't. When they finished eating and were heading for the car, she again took his hand. Once in the car, he reached over and kissed her. She kissed back, but it seemed to Ron that she was kissing from a distance. Ron was too impatient to let that happen. Why couldn't he see that she just couldn't think about them right now? "It feels like something from the past when I see you, Robin." "You make everything sound so final," she said. "That's how it feels. If things get forced sometimes, the timing of them creates the outcome." "What are you trying to tell me?" "Not really anything. My mother's apartment is at the next corner. Will you come upstairs with me for a few minutes?" Ron knew that she wanted him to be there with her mother when she saw her. because there was a chance that she would have to run out of the place. At first he told himself that he should turn her down. If she wanted her life to be lived alone, she couldn't just use him when she needed him. But then he reasoned that if she saw how much she really did need him and rely on him, she might just figure out that they should be together. He parked the car. The door to Doris Henkel's apartment was unlocked, and the apartment itself was dark. Robin opened the door and called, "Mom, it's me." At first there was no answer. She called again as they walked into the apartment, and again as they walked into the kitchen. "Robin, did I hear you?" she said, sluggishly, a slurred voice. Robin glanced at Ron and mouthed the word, "Shit." Then she said, "It's me, all the way from Minnesota. Come on out, Mom." "Come in here, Robin. I don't think that I can get out." "How long do you figure you're going to be here?" said Ron. "My flight back is on Sunday night." In spite of himself, Ron slipped and said, "You're going to keep on living out in Minnesota, aren't you?" "I think so," said Robin. "Because of Alex?" "Because of me. I worked really hard to make Minnesota my home, and I don't think that I want to throw that away for anybody." Ron felt sick. He wanted her to tell him that they were important, that it made some difference to her that they were not together, and she just kept talking about herself. She said, "Are you okay?" "I'll be fine," said Ron. "It's not because of you. It's got nothing to do with you, really." "That makes me feel better." "I love you, Ron, and you're very special and important." Ron felt tears starting to congregate inside his head. He tried to take hold of his mind strongly to keep them away from his eyes. He saw her watching him. "But we're not going to have a life together, are we?" She didn't answer at first. He was having real trouble keeping the tears in his head and out of his eyes now. He glanced at her profile from the corner of his eye. Robin wished that he hadn't said anything to her about them tonight. She just wanted things to be pleasant, and they just worked themselves out. But she'd known all along that Ron wouldn't be able to allow that to happen. Her mother's apartment was dark. When they knocked on it, the door opened. Robin called out twice before she heard her mother answer. "I'm getting out of bed right now. I was fast asleep." "Oh, God," said Robin. She reached for Ron's hand. "Please don't leave yet." "Go ahead. It's okay," said Ron. "I'll stay." Robin walked through the hall that led past the bathroom and into the bedroom, turning on lights as she went. She reached the opening of the bedroom and flipped on the wall switch that she found there. Two naked 100-watt bulbs shocked the darkened room. Doris shut her eyes, and Robin looked around at the piles of clothes and two empty bottles that she could see right out in plain view. "Robin, please, the light hurts my eyes. I never use the overhead light." "Hi, Mom, how are you?" Robin stood frozen in the doorway and seemed somewhat transfixed by the scene. She wondered if this was always going to be the way she found her mother. Then she moved over to the night table and switched on the lamp. She walked quickly back to the doorway and turned off the light. "That's better," said Doris, opening her eyes and trying to focus. "Ron's with me." "Oh, for goodness sake, shut the door then, please. Tell Ron I'm not feeling too well right now. Tell him that I'll see him tomorrow. Is he staying here too?" "No," said Robin. "He just picked me up at the airport. He said that he wanted to say hello to you. I'll go and tell him that you're really not up to it, and I'll be right back." Robin shut the door behind her. For a second, she wondered if she could stand to stay here with her mother. Then she told herself she was really being silly. This wouldn't be any different than she remembered life with her mother before she and Ron moved in together. "She's really drunk," said Robin. "I don't think she's going to be able to stay awake for long. Do you want some tea or something?" "Not really," said Ron. "Will you come and get me out of here in the morning?" "Yes." She kissed him goodnight and left. She took her suitcase and opened it on a couch, telling herself that it was only going to be for a few days.